It's time for another episode of the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, providing cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. This week, we sit down with Larry Tracy, the president of Memorial Hospital. Larry will tell us how a kid from Ohio found his way to South Bend, Indiana, to head up the largest employer in the region. It's quite a story. Larry also talks about the pressure of being responsible for 7,000 employees and their families, and the exciting changes and growth coming to not only the downtown South Bend campus, but also Beacon Health Services overall. Now here are your hosts, Chamber President and CEO Jeff Bray, and Director of Member Relations, Mark McGill.
And welcome to the Behind the Region podcast, being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Jeff, another week. They haven't shut us down yet.
Yeah, we're getting some good reviews out there. People are liking us. They're sharing this on their social media. So we appreciate everybody listening and encourage them to do the same. We've got some great traction. We've got some great guests. We encourage them to let us know if there are people they want to hear from. We'd love to plug them in. We think we found a great guest today, Larry Tracy. Larry is the president of Memorial Hospital. Certainly no stranger, Memorial or Larry, to the community. Larry, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here. And I will say it was a bit of a daunting task to follow in the footsteps of Peg Dalton. I watched that podcast and all I kept thinking was, it's a recipe for disaster, and then Mark quickly picked up on my joke.
I love it. Yeah, yes, exactly.
By the way, we all have a hard time following Peg.
Yes,
we
right.
feel that
yes,
way
exactly.
every day in life.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We set the bar high at the early part of this podcast, and then we keep going. So, but I think you'll be a great guest, and we look forward to the conversation today. Larry, just for maybe frame of reference, I think everybody knows Memorial Hospital a little bit, or Beacon Health System, but for those who might be unfamiliar, or give us a kind of a high-level overview of Beacon and Memorial.
So Beacon Health System is the largest provider of medical and healthcare services in the region. And we cover, we have a service area that covers more than 22 counties between Southwest Michigan and Northern Indiana. And so what started as a merger between Memorial Hospital of South Bend and Elkhart General Hospital has blossomed into this very robust community health system that also has ambulatory outpatient spaces, has a micro hospital, for example, at Beacon Granger. We now have stepped across the state line with Three Rivers Health coming into the health system. Also, Community Hospital of Bremen came into the family several years ago. So a very robust health system providing for the needs of Northern Indiana.
Great. So, and we'll come back to Beacon, or I'm sorry, to Memorial. Both, you're a part of both, obviously, or you are both. but let's go to you a little bit, Larry. So, when Larry was growing up, did Larry want to run a hospital someday? And like, how does one find a path to where you're at today?
So, I've received feedback that. That this story as I age gets longer, so I will try to truncate it in order to fit it into your podcast.
There you go. We only have 30 minutes. Yeah.
Correct. So the I did not grow up desiring to be a hospital administrator. In fact, I grew up basically in a household that was ironworking and nursing, and so at an early age I've been exposed to medicine. But also to the construction trades. And it's one of those stories where I did not, I didn't have quite enough of a lot of different things. I didn't have enough athletic talent in order to go to school for athletics. I didn't have quite enough brain talent, so to speak, in order to fully qualify for like a full ride academic scholarship somewhere. And I have zero artistic talent, which is another way out of my hometown, so to speak. But I had enough of it for the Army to give me an ROTC scholarship to go to college. And so so my journey was from a small town in Portsmouth, Ohio, down along the Ohio River. Mm. Went to school in Columbus, Ohio, and where I met my wife. But because of that ROTC foundation, my first career was actually as an officer in the United States Army, and it had nothing to do with healthcare. I was a missile defense officer with the starting with the Patriot missile system. And so, but it was during the first couple of years of service where there was a medical situation that happened in my family, specifically with my grandfather, where I returned home to help with the care that was being provided. And in that journey, I found myself asking lots of questions. And eventually, one of the surgeons pulled me out in the hallway and talked to me a little bit and introduced me to this idea of healthcare administration. And a close friend of his was a professor at Ohio State, mm-hmm. and he offered to make the introduction. That introduction was made. And then as I was progressing through my Army career, I found myself more and more focused on healthcare topics and healthcare leadership topics. So eventually, I was a commander of an Army unit when I finally decided I'm done. I'm going to make this transition. I'm going to apply to graduate school. And then that became the path. So I went back to graduate school. The Army was very fortunate for me that I had caring leadership who decided, rather than just let me go, actually found an ROTC slot for me to go teach, ROTC, military science, so that I could make that determination. And if it didn't work out, I still had a great military career. So, but my path is, I have young professionals who ask me about the path quite mm-hmm. often, and I tell them, don't worry about my path,
right? Yeah.
Right? It's your path that's going to matter. And my path is so unique and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, that it's, but really it is true that in today's world, while there historically was a path to hospital or healthcare leadership roles, today that dynamic has completely been blown apart. Mm-hmm. There is no set prescription. In terms of education, training, background, it's a very diverse field today, and one that each person who comes into that equation, quite frankly, makes us all better for it, because it helps broaden the perspectives that we have to best serve our communities. So. So anyways, it was a long circuitous route, I think you'd call it.
Which is great, and I think it's one of the things I've enjoyed about the podcast is we're sitting talking to people that people follow a lot of different routes to get where they are today, but it's interesting journey, and I think a great message to folks who aren't sure where they're going to be long-term, that you can take a lot of twists and turns along the way. So let's fast forward a little bit. So the opportunity opens up in South Bend, Indiana, to come work for Memorial. Talk to us a little bit about maybe your first impressions as you're coming here, and then having been here now for a number of years, you know, kind of what you're thinking about the community that you've come to call home.
So my journey, my experience with Memorial Hospital South Bend actually went all the way back to my days of graduate school. So I was an ROTC instructor, as I said. I was administering the exam, one of the exams for my students, and the Ohio State graduate program in the evenings would have alumni guests come in and give guest lectures. And there happened to be a gentleman from South Bend who I was interested in learning more about his story. But of course, my students ran a little bit late, and I was a little bit late. So I come running into the classroom in uniform, which I normally didn't wear my uniform to class, and it was Phil Newbold. Uh-huh. And so Phil was explaining this wonderful place called Memorial Hospital of South Bend, this wonderful community. And then later, when I was a postgraduate fellow, meaning the work I was doing immediately after graduate school, I was at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. And as I was starting to do my career exploration, like where was I going to land, my mentor, who was the CEO of Northwestern, had suggested that I talk to Phil. Somehow they knew each other. And Phil was very gracious with his time. And so several encounters with Phil sort of were already in the back of my mind. And then there was a third point 2 years before, it's about 2 years before I actually came here. I came here, I was president of a hospital in St. Louis, Missouri with BJC Healthcare, and I got a call from my PI department that that said that they were going to look at a site that was doing really well in performance improvement. And they said it was Memorial Hospital of South Bend. So I said, sure, I made the trip up here. And so 2 years later, when a search firm called me and said, would you be interested in interviewing for the president of Memorial Hospital of South Bend, my first response was, oh my goodness, what happened to Phil?
Yeah.
And then they explained that Beacon, that this health system had formed. So my arrival here in the summer of 2016, I actually had many touch points that, you know, from the very beginning, what I have been always struck by and impressed by is the genuine warmness of this community. And I say that even in the months of January and February, that there is this, it's this Midwestern vibe that, you know, I grew up in Ohio. So, you know, Ohio, Indiana, very aligned culturally to how I grew up. And when you meet people like Chris Murphy, who will sit there and throw wisdom at you, such as, you know, the old Coke bottles, and, you know, at the bottom it says no deposit, no return, mm-hmm. right? It's this, you put yourself into this, you will get out of this community what you put into it. Mm-hmm. And that notion of these are, you know, you're taking care of your friends and your neighbors. Versus some other environments where I've been in, it's been, I'll say, a much larger environment, and you don't necessarily know, you know, who you're taking care of. So it's been a wonderful journey here. We have three kids. One of them was in college at the time that we moved here. So our two girls, our second and third child, they actually finished middle school, went to high school here at Penn High School, got a great education, and now they're at Ball State and Indiana University. So we have thoroughly enjoyed not only our professional experiences here, but also our personal experiences in the community.
Great. Let's move to Memorial a little bit. So as you assimilate into this role, this is one of the biggest positions in town, to be honest with you. This is a large company. This is a big employer. This is a company that has a major economic impact on our community. So talk about the CEO role and sort of as you've approached it, you know, kind of some of what you found there.
So the first way I try to approach it is to always be cognizant of who I represent. At Beacon Health System, I am one of the leaders who represents over 7,000 associates who are waking up each and every day trying to do the very best they can to deliver excellent health care to the communities that they serve. And so everything that I do professionally, I try to remind myself that that's who I represent. On the Memorial campus specifically, Memorial has a unique role within the region in terms of being the only level two trauma center within a 90-mile radius, and having the children's hospital and having the only inpatient behavioral health hospital in St. Joseph County. And so there are some unique aspects that come to that. And, you know, what I'm always reminding myself is that I'm always on stage. It doesn't matter where I go, and I sort of knew that dating back to my days in the military, that leaders are always leaders, and you have to be mindful of that, because someone may see you at Costco, but depending on what you say, how you say it, how they interpret it, right? It's a reflection on the organization the organizations that you're engaged with. So I always try to approach it that way. I will say, as my role in Beacon has sort of morphed over time, recently picking up some responsibilities related to facilities, construction, and real estate, it's given me a wonderful opportunity to even broaden that perspective and that engagement across other campuses. For example, this morning I started down in Bremen as we're looking at their building situation in Bremen, spending time in Three Rivers, spending time in Elkhart. And it gives me a wonderful opportunity to see Beacon from all of its angles. And so I'm humbled that I continue to have the opportunity every day to wake up and represent 7,000 awesome people in Beacon.
Well, you've got an amazing team. They do some phenomenal work here, and we're grateful to have you at the helm, but also to have all your, at every level, the folks that are doing things to help benefit our community. To talk for a second, just as you've been in healthcare now a few years, healthcare is changing, and so how does it look different today than it might have years ago when you started and you were in St. Louis or when you first came here? What's different about it?
Everything and sometimes nothing.
Oh yeah.
In terms of what has changed, it's really interesting. The what I'll say is changed the most really is the pressure from all angles, mm-hmm. and people think about the pressures that hospitals face financially, but also the pressures that the physicians and other practitioners face, because their business models have changed as well. And so everybody seems to want things to be different, whether you're the payer, like a Medicare, a Medicaid, or an Anthem, whether you're a major employer. Everybody wants stuff that's different, and people want it faster. They want it when they want it. They want it cheaper. And yet we find ourselves at a crossroad where there are structural differences, even from state to state, about how healthcare is funded. So all of this sort of, I'll say, chaos and pressure is a very different environment even than when I came into the industry back in the late 1990s. And so it does take, it takes a very broad skill set. It takes a broad team of people to be able to navigate that. So whereas, I'll say, 20, 30 years ago, you may have had sort of a stereotypical leadership team that might have had, you know, a president, a vice president of nursing or a chief nurse, a vice president of operations, and sort of that how the decisions were made. It's a much more diverse set of people today, spread across the organization. It's very much more lateral in that, because so many different decisions are being made in different environments, whether it's the retail environment, whether it's an ambulatory surgery environment, whether it's the acute care hospital environment. But yet in some ways, it's not changing. So for example, the investments that we're making on the Memorial Hospital campus for the patient tower represents some ways in which healthcare is not changing. That while overall inpatient, meaning a patient in a bed, utilization nationally is projected to start to go down as that baby boomer generation starts to age closer to dying, while that utilization is forecasted to go down, it's the intermediate and the high acuity care that is really forecasted to continue to rise, because people are living longer. They have more comorbidities. I mean, the lifespan of folks in my family when I was growing up, males you would expect to see their mortality usually in their early 70s. Today, that would be in their early 80s. And so that extension of life requires more intense care at that later stages of life. And so there's an example where the investment in the Memorial Tower actually does fit with the overall Beacon strategy, right? We want to be in places like the Ambulatory Surgery Center that we just opened up in Granger. We want to be in places that are most convenient for people. But ultimately, we have to have an environment at our acute care hospitals, at Elkhart, at Three Rivers, at Bremen, and at Memorial, that can take care of the sickest of the sick.
Great. So let's go into it. So what Memorial, I think, has done well is continue to adapt to the changing needs in the community from a health standpoint. So over the years, your facility is a hodgepodge of, not a hodgepodge, but a number of additions through time that as you see. So now you have perhaps your largest construction project in the hospital's history. Talk to us a little bit about what's being planned. Or what's actually further than planned, going to be constructed there.
So today's a big day in that journey. Leading up to today, we've been doing a series of what we call enabling projects. They are things that have to happen in order for the big tower to be built. And as I was explaining to Mark earlier today, the today is a day where one of those enabling projects, which is the sixth floor, comes to life. Literally, as I'm talking to you, patients are being moved from the heart and vascular building over to the sixth floor. And the reason that has to happen is eventually, here in about another, probably about 9 months, the patients in the ICU will need to move to that third floor, and then we will need that ICU in order to be able to break it down all the way to the walls and then reconstruct it as part of the overall tower and the redevelopment. So there's lots of things in flight on this campus right now, and it's an exciting time, but it's also a window into the future. To see the staff, for example, when we did the ribbon cutting, and to see the staff's face light up, they helped design these spaces. They helped imagine what the future of healthcare is going to look like in the acute care setting. And now to see their faces light up when they walk into the space, that's really fulfilling for me. And so the activity really has just begun, because most of what's happened so far has been inside the walls of Memorial Hospital. But now it's on the outside. So you may have seen recently, we literally broke the ground when we started the work outside of the garage. And that little roundabout that sits in front of the garage will eventually be unearthed, and AEP will drop a massive power transformer down into it and cover it back up. And that is going to serve as the energy that then fuels the tower. But we have to go under the garage in order to do that. So it's starting to become real for folks, right? They're starting to see the earth move. It's going to become really real for folks once the noise starts, right? Because then you're starting to drill into the ground. You're starting to do the things that cause noise and vibration. And so our team has been steadily ramping up, getting ready for that. But they also know it represents our future. So it's a very exciting time on the campus.
So talk timing a little bit, because obviously you have this challenge of continuing to drive this, rebuilding this car while it's driving down the road. You have this puzzle that you're putting together. So one, give patients the comfort that they're everything they need at the hospital is still there, and then two, talk about timing of when this might be done.
Yeah. So if I had a public service announcement,
yes,
it would be
a platform for
it. Would be Memorial Hospital and Beacon Health System are open for business.
Yes. Right.
So our capacity does not actually go down during this project, and it's probably one of the more subtle, beautiful points of the way this project happens. We actually expand capacity a little bit, so we'll be able to take care of even more patients. But the timing is, so we will be into the ground starting to develop the foundation in the first quarter of 2024. Right now, it's really the work that's happening behind that parking garage. But the structural steel will start to come out of the ground next spring, where eventually you'll start to see, you know, that skeleton, you know, you'll see the crane and everything else emerging, and so it'll start to become real. We're projecting that it would be somewhere in late Q2, potentially as late as early Q3 of 2026, that it would be done and we would be moving in for services. But this entire time, while all this construction is going on, the front door will still be open. All of the services will still be available. We're taking a very aggressive stance in how to communicate that with patients and visitors to help them navigate the campus. I mean, for example, that front garage, while most people are used to that entrance comes in from the south, we're literally going to put the entrance where it used to be on the west side of that garage, right off of the main entrance of the hospital. And so, but despite all of that, the fact is we're actually going to have more capacity to take care of patients during construction than what we do today.
Great. Let's shift employees. You mentioned 7,200 associates, I think is what you said, across the system. Obviously, you have some of the same challenges every employer does in terms of attracting talent and stuff. And you're really employing everybody from the surgeon that's going to do surgery on you to the guy that's shoveling the sidewalk out front. So just talk a little bit about just or maybe some encourage, you know, why would somebody want to enter healthcare? To give them the pitch a little bit about the opportunities that might exist at a place like Beacon.
So when I talk to folks who are interested or they think they're interested in healthcare, the phrase that I tend to focus on or I start with is the raison d'être, meaning the reason to be. Our reason to be is the patient. It always has been, and it always will be. Any of these jobs or job classifications within the health system, they can be done in other places. Physicians don't have to work in a hospital. Nurses don't have to work in a hospital. Someone who's working in our food service department doesn't have to work in a hospital. But you make a choice, and the center of that is the patient. And so that's the passion that I always encourage people to look for is, why do you want to do this? Now, on the flip side, I always encourage folks to say, whatever it is you're imagining you might want to do, you probably can do it in a health system. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you want to be an attorney or if you want to be a graphic artist or if you want, I mean, you can keep naming job after job after job. And surprisingly, especially the larger the health system, the more of those opportunities that there are. So I think healthcare is a wonderful wonderful balance between all of these different disciplines, because it does take all of these disciplines, all of these job expertises, in order to deliver an outstanding experience for patients and for visitors. So as far as the challenges that we're facing the same challenges that every other employer in this region is facing. It is the search for talent. And then same problem that we're having nationally is then once you have the talent, how do you get them to stay? Mm-hmm. And I think for us in Beacon Health System, that it's about having a journey, a career journey within the health system, so that you don't have to commit to something for 40 years as a career. You know, your career can morph, if you will, over time to reflect your changing interests. And so, for example, our investment with Ivy Tech in order to help create some of our workforce of the future, specifically in the nursing field, is not only about growing our own workforce, but and we need bedside caregivers, but over time, we're also going to need people in other nursing roles, right, that we want to be able to source from within. So we are chasing lots of jobs, but more importantly within Beacon, we're having more dialogue about how do we have to continue to change in order to make this a place people want to contribute their skills and talents for a career.
The Behind the Region podcast being powered by Tech Tyler PC. Today, cyber threats are rapidly expanding. Let Tech Tyler PC provide the tools and training your business needs so you can spend more time with your family and friends enjoying life rather than worrying about and struggling with your tech problems. From Office 365 email setup and management to complete IT, including 24/7 monitoring, management, antivirus, backups, and encryption, let Tech Tyler PC help you. Call them today for a free consultation at 855-213-5016. Or send them an email at sales@techtylerpc.com. Tech Tyler PC, managing all of your IT needs.
He's Larry Tracy. He's the president of Memorial Hospital. Larry, we really appreciate the chance to sit down and chat a little bit about what's happening. You've got a really exciting project happening in town, but we're more than anything grateful for the good work you and your associates do every day in our community, and we're glad to have you here.
I think we're missing one important factor before we Uh-oh. Go. You worked in St. Louis, Cardinals or Cubs?
Red Sox.
Ah.
He's Larry Tracy. we'll allow it. They have the same struggles as Cubs fans have, so we'll allow it.
You know, when I lived in St. Louis, you don't live in St. Louis and not become a Cardinals fan.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting, Mark, with you being in radio, what I learned about that, the Cardinals' broad reach is literally tied to KMOX.
Yes.
It was the reach that station Absolutely. Had across yeah. multiple states. Yeah. So that I found that to be fascinating, but I have to admit, one of the biggest joys I had was the World Series between the Cardinals and the Red Sox. Wow. And my employer, of course, was a sponsor of the Cardinals, so I had to wear my Red Sox t-shirt underneath my Cardinals jersey while we were watching the game.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your friendship. I know you had a crazy day today, and we really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity. 30 minutes really does fly by. And I want to thank you both for the valuable work that you do. You know, the stuff in this community doesn't happen without people having that vision and pushing leaders around the community to be bought into a vision. So whether you're, the one that comes to mind most readily is the GM plant with Samsung. That didn't happen without people like you behind the scenes and on the front of the scenes pushing people to coalesce around a vision. So thank you very much. And certainly, I wanted to make sure that Peg retained her place as the best podcast.
Right, yeah.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
We'll be keeping track of downloads for you if you want to see.
I mean, that was an awesome story. The loser's discount.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I'm gonna put on my baseball uniform.
That was something that I did not realize either. The loser discount, and you have to ask for it.
Right.
Right.
As the losers.
Yeah.
Larry Tracy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Behind the Region podcast from the South Bend Regional Chamber, being powered by Tech Tyler PC, offering cost-effective IT solutions to fit any budget. For more information on the South Bend Regional Chamber or to become a chamber member, please visit our website at sbrchamber.com.